Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The importance of the intellect and of acquiring knowledge in our tariqah. Maulana Hazir Imam made the following firman at the Dar Khana Jamaat Khana in Karachi on 27th October 2000. He said, "We trust in intellect because it is what makes man and woman different from everything else on earth. Allah says that man is his greatest creation. What makes the greatest creation different from the others? What is it? The intellect, nothing else. Use knowledge for good purpose. Also, keep the balance in your lives between the material and the spiritual. Be careful not to give up this balance by accident or worse. Do not give it up. Practice your faith regularly. Think of your faith. Make it part of your life every day so that it is part of your existence, your material human existence." This firman reminds us that we as Ismaili Muslims do not separate the acquisition of secular worldly knowledge from that of spiritual knowledge. Our teachings emphasize the importance of acquiring both, because that is the reason why Allah gave us the intellect and distinguished us from the rest of His creatures. Further, good quality secular education helps us to appreciate and understand spiritual knowledge. The Imam's Ta'aleem also directs us to use knowledge for good purpose and to maintain a balance in our lives by making faith a part of our everyday lives. He advises us to think of our faith. In this context, let us use the opportunity every Jamaati Satara brings to think of our faith and to enhance our knowledge and understanding of our tariqah and its teachings. This will impact our practice, which in turn will bring greater spiritual benefit and fulfillment. Islam means submission to the will of Allah through His chosen prophets and designated imams. The Holy Quran is quite clear and explicit that guidance, teaching, allegiance and obedience, forgiveness, purification and love for God are all through a wasila or intermediary, that is the prophet or imam. This can be seen in two separate ayats of the Holy Quran, which we recite in our daily dua. In the second part of our dua, we recite part of ayat 59 of surah 4, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu atti'ullaha wa atti'ur-rasul wa ulil amri minkum. This says that in order to obey Allah, we have to obey the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And in order to obey the Holy Prophet, we need to obey the Ulul Amra, those in authority or command, who are the designated imams from his progeny. In the fourth part of our dua, we recite the ayat of Bayya from Surah 48, Ayah 10, Inna ladhina yubayyunaka, innama yubayyunallaha. We recite that those who give their bayya or allegiance to the Prophet give it to Allah Himself. These are just two of a number of ayats in the Holy Quran in which Allah teaches that we need an intermediary between Him and us. During this satara, we will reflect on some more of our rites and utterances to understand the significance of the concept of wasila according to the teachings of Islam. Inshallah, through such reflection over the next week, we will be able to appreciate how our rites and ceremonies are an expression of our fundamental beliefs. This will deepen our understanding of our tariqah, which Maulana Hazir Imam described as having unique characteristics
during his visit in 1994 to the United Kingdom. Hayyu Zinda. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Jamaat Khana represents the house of Noor in our tariqah. The Holy Quran states in Surah 5, Ayat 15, that Allah has sent us Noor and a clear book. Our book of revelation further clearly states in Surah 9, Ayat 32, that the Noor of Allah cannot be extinguished. Ismaili teachings based on these and many other ayats of the Holy Quran maintain that the Imam of the time, from the progeny of the Holy Prophet, is the Noor of Allah, that is, his mazhar, or the place of manifestation of Allah's Noor. Thus, the Jamaat Khana designated by the Imam for us to pray in represents the house of Noor in the Ismaili tariqah. It is a place where the Noor of Allah, that is the Noor of the Imam, is present in Batin. Let us remind ourselves of a farman which Maulana Hazir Imam made in Dar es Salaam on 11th October 1988. He said as he was taking leave of the Jamaat, "And remember that although I leave you physically, I am with you all the time, in every Jamaat Khana, all the time." In the context of this, we can now appreciate the meaning and significance of reciting Hayyu Zinda when we enter the Jamaat Khana. It means that we affirm the presence of the Imam's ever-living Noor in the Jamaat Khana. Hayyu Zinda is a compound word in which Hay is Arabic and Zinda is Persian. However, both mean exactly the same, that is, ever-living. The response given to it by those already present in the Jamaat Khana is Qayyum Paya. Qayyum Paya is similarly a compound word comprising Qayyum in Arabic and Payinda in Persian, both of which again have the same meaning, that is, everlasting or eternal. Through usage in the Gujarati-speaking Jamaat, we say Paya instead of Payinda. The meaning of these utterances is grounded in our belief that the light of Allah is present and living in his mazhar, the Imam of the time. Further, according to the Holy Quran and the teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, this light is eternal and ever-present to guide human beings on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. The importance of Al-Hayyul Qayyum is evident from the fact that these are the two supreme names of Allah and are in the beginning of Ayatul Kursi, which is Surah 2, Ayat 255. We recite these names in the third part of our dua as La ilaha illallahul Hayyul Qayyum. Hayyu Zinda and Qayyum Paya are recited not only at the moment of entering the Jamaat Khana, but also at the end of various recitations, as well as when we receive Juras and Sukrit. On special occasions, we also do a zikr tasbih of Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. Each time we utter these words, we remind ourselves that we are in the house of Noor. Our peers have explained in the Ginans that the sacred space in Jamaat Khana is like an ocean of Noor in which the souls of Mu'mins are completely immersed. If we can retain this understanding in our daily practice, the Jamaat Khana can become the place where we can absorb the Noor and recharge our spiritual batteries. We can maintain a balance in our lives between the material and the spiritual. Through concentration and intellectual engagement with the rites and ceremonies in Jamaat Khana, we become revived by the batini presence of the Imam's Noor. We can then return to our physical lives being spiritually and ethically stronger. In this way, we can experience the power of the practice of faith in our daily lives, within our Jamaat, our families, and our business and other relationships. Hayyu Zinda. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Dua Karawi is a reaffirmation of our Bayya. In the first write-up of this Satara, we heard that prophets and imams are the wasila or intermediary between Allah and the mu'mins or believers. Quranic teachings emphasize the status and significance of Allah's wasila. There are many synonyms in the Quran for this intermediary between Allah and us, such as Khalifa, Vicegerent, Ulul Amr, holders of the command, Nur, light, Hadi, guide, etc. Quranic teachings emphasize the status and significance of Allah's wasila. The story of Hazrat Adam, Salwatullahi Alayhi, in the Quran is well known. In Surah 15 and 38, we learn that Allah chose him to be his Khalifa on the earth. The description tells us that Allah breathed his spirit into Hazrat Adam and then commanded the angels to prostrate to him. Thus, according to our holy book, prostration to Allah is through his Khalifa, who is the prophet or the imam. Similarly, Bayya or allegiance to Allah is also through the prophet or the imam. In the fourth part of our daily dua, we recite ayat number 10 of Surah 48, in which we recite, Yadullahi fawqa aydihim. That is, Allah says that those who give bayya to the Holy Prophet indeed give bayya to him, and Allah's hand is upon their hands. In other words, Allah gives the Prophet the status of being his own hand, which accepts the bayya of the murids in the physical world. This clear and unambiguous ayat of the Holy Quran was responsible for the conversion of Hakim Pir Nasir Khusru to the Ismaili Tariqa and his subsequent service of spreading the Ismaili Tariqa to Afghanistan, Badakhshan, and other parts of Central Asia as far east as China. He writes in his poetry, "One day I read the ayat of Bayya in the Quran, in which God declares that his hand is above their hands. What has happened to that hand? Where can I find it? Why was I not born in the time of the Holy Prophet?" Such questioning led to his personal search to find and recognize the Imam from the progeny of the Holy Prophet. He gave Bayya to Imam Mustansir Billah I in Cairo during the Fatimid times. We perform Dua Karawi every time we attend Jamaat Khana. It is usually done before the recitation of the first dua or after the second dua. During Dua Karawi, we ask for forgiveness of our shortcomings and disobediences, and we resolve not to repeat our mistakes. This is to remind ourselves of the bayya we have given to the Imam of the time, that we will obey his farmans. The ayat of bayya teaches that those who obey the Khalifa of Allah, the Prophet or Imam, will receive ajran nazima, or great reward, whereas those who disobey will do great injustice and disservice to their own souls and suffer tremendous spiritual loss. Ayat of Bayya is a mirror reflection of the ayat of obedience, which we recite in the second part of our dua, where we repeat the Quranic injunction from Surah 4, Ayat 59. All you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Prophet and the Ulil Amri Minkum, those who hold the command from amongst you. We can now appreciate that in our tariqah, our rites and our utterances are closely intertwined with our fundamental beliefs. In fact, we can say that whatever we do in Jamaat Khana is an expression of what we believe about the oneness of Allah, His mercy in sending us prophets and imams to guide us in our spiritual and physical lives, and the importance of our soul, which is the only eternal part of our existence. Regular attendance of Jamaat Khana and the performance of our rites and ceremonies with understanding and meaning ensures that the practice of our faith is both with our hearts and our minds. What we believe is enacted practically in our daily Jamaat Khana practices, which nurtures us spiritually and intellectually. We are able to integrate our spiritual lives with our physical lives. In other words, the practice of our faith positively impacts all our relationships and dealings with other human beings around us. We can put the ethics of Islam, such as generosity, unity, forgiveness, sharing and serving others, into daily practice with ease and comfort. Hayyu Zinda. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Giryauzari Tasbih is a prayer for the global Jamaat. In our tariqah, the daily congregational prayers in the Jamaat Khana are concise and follow a set procedure. One important feature is the Giryauzari Tasbih, which we recite between the two duas. This tasbih is offered in a standing position. It has some similar supplications and words as the tasbihs recited by the Mukhi Kamriya Sahibs at the end of the two duas. However, the Giryauzari tasbih fulfills a particular need and purpose. This is indicated by its name as well as the standing position in which it is offered. Giryauzari comes from two Persian words, Giristan, which means to weep, and Zaridan, which means to consider oneself weak and feeble. Thus, this tasbih is recited with the utmost humility and a strong feeling of indigence or need. According to the Holy Quran, such prayer was the tradition of the prophets. In Surah 19, Ayah 58, Allah speaks about the prophets and says, whenever the revelations of Ar-Rahman were recited to them, they fell down prostrating and weeping. We believe that prophets are role models and therefore we follow their way of supplication. In this as well as other tasbihs, we pray particularly for Zahiri and Batini Nurani Didar. Maulana Mustansir Billah II narrates a very moving story about the Giryauzari of Prophet Yahya or John the Baptist in the book Peer Pandyate Jawanmardi. Prophet Yahya used to weep much during his supplications. So one day Allah sent Hazrat Jibrail to ask him why he was crying so much. Was he yearning for paradise? Or was he frightened of the fire of hell? Hazrat Yahya replied that neither greed for paradise nor the fear of hell motivated him. He simply and purely yearned for Didar. Hazrat Jibrail returned and said, O Yahya, Allah says that if you are crying for Didar, then never stop. This narration demonstrates that to achieve Nurani Didar requires total humility, complete purification of soul, and absolute self-effacement. Maulana Sultan Muhammad Shah Salwatullahi Alayhi, in his Farman of 1899 at Dar Islam, also said that a mu'min should cry for Didar just like a child separated from its mother cries in order to be united with her. Giryauzari is a prayer that is recited standing up because we are supplicating for our physical and spiritual needs through the intercession of the Imam of the time. In classical times, when a subject needed a favor from the king, he would stand in his court and make a humble request. In our case, as spiritual children who need divine favors, we too need to stand respectfully and with raised hands ask in a humble manner. Giryazari Tasbih also includes Mushkil Asan Tasbih every day, and sometimes Satara Bakshamani, and occasionally Satara Sthapna Tasbih. These various tasbihs are requested by members of the Jamaat who face difficulties. The common denominator is the importance attached to congregational prayer on behalf of any mu'min who is undergoing difficulties. In Islam, collective prayer is very effective and gives great help and strength to spiritual brothers or sisters in their trials. Another important feature of the Giryauzari Tasbih is that Jamaats around the world recite it every morning and evening. This should give us a sense of tremendous confidence and comforting security, as well as a strong confirmation that we are indeed created from a single soul and are truly a spiritual family of brothers and sisters. To add an extra or additional point here, since there is a time difference between the various time zones, we can be sure as Ismailis that during the entire 24 hours, somewhere or the other, a Jamaat, an Ismaili Jamaat, is reciting Giryauzari Tasbih and supplicating on behalf of all the Ismaili Murids of the Imam of the time. This is a wonderful thing, and we should have a lot of gratitude for that. Hayyu Zinda. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The gut part ceremony encompasses our fundamental beliefs. The gut part ceremony is so special that it is established on every Friday, on days when we receive Mubarak Talikas, on Chandrat and other important festival days, as well as every morning after Baitul Khayal. Previously, there was a special dua composed by Pir Sadruddin for the Jamaat in the Indian subcontinent, which was recited during Ghatpat. The Ghatpat ceremony is very comprehensive and highly symbolic and requires us to reflect on its multiple meanings, which unfold with time and sincere practice. Three main symbols in it are a lamp, water, and sukrit. The lamp is a universal symbol of light. It is switched on when the gut part is established at the beginning of the Giryauzari Tasbih and is only switched off when the ceremony is complete. The light of the lamp is a reminder of the light of Allah, which continues through His chosen prophets and designated imams from the progeny of the final prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This belief is based on the teachings of the Holy Quran, which states in its famous verse of light, Ayatun Nur, that is Surah 24, Ayat 35. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. The similitude of His light is as a niche in which there is a lamp. In another chapter of the Quran, Surah 33, Ayat 46, the Holy Prophet Muhammad is described as Siraja Munira, or the luminous lamp. Water is the second main symbol of the Ghatpat ceremony. During the fifth part of the second dua, the reciter pours a small amount of Abe Shifa into the kumbh whilst saying Farman, to which the whole Jamaat unitedly replies, Ya Ali, Ya Muhammad. Abe Shifa is water that the Imam of the time blesses, specially for his beloved spiritual children. Abe Shifa is a Persian Arabic compound word that literally means the water of healing. This definition invites us to reflect on what kind of healing is meant here. The opening chapter of the Quran, which we recite at the very beginning of our dua, is also known as the Surat al-Shifa, or the chapter of healing, which is repeated at the time of establishing the gut part. As we know, there is no dichotomy or separation in Islam between the material and spiritual aspects of our lives. Thus, we pray for physical, spiritual, and intellectual healing. This type of healing is only possible through sincere and consistent obedience of the farmans of the Imam of the time. The third symbol, Sukrit, which is a Sanskrit word meaning good deeds, reinforces the first two symbols. Together they mean that if we follow the living light of Allah, that is Imam Zaman, who is the Nur of prophethood and Imamat in this time, and lead an ethical life as well as do good deeds, we will be cured of all ideological, ethical, spiritual, and intellectual diseases. The utterances during this ceremony, which are Farman, and the reply, Ya Ali, Ya Muhammad, and Hayyu Zinda at the time of receiving Sukrit, and the reply, Kayyum Paya, all constitute the profound meanings of the gut part ceremony and which substantiate all our fundamental beliefs. The combination of the symbols of light and water is significant. In the physical world around us, we see that all life on our planet is due to the light of the physical sun and the water on the surface of the earth. In the gut part ceremony, these two ingredients represent the continuing light and guidance of the Imam of the time, without which there can be no spiritual or intellectual life and growth. Further, the evidence of such spiritual and intellectual growth is in the way Mu'mins can transform society around them through good deeds and service to humanity according to the teachings of the Imam of the time. Gut part ceremony is worthy of our constant reflection. Maulana Sultan Muhammad Shah Salwatullahi Alayhi poses a question to the Jamaat in a farman. He says that Jamaats have been partaking of Aab-e-Shifa for hundreds of years. But have we really understood its meaning? Inshallah, we will all reflect more and more and do the ibadat of fikr as well as the ibadat of zikr in our holy tariqah. Hayyu Zinda. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Is religion other than love? Is religion other than love? This was a question asked by our fifth Imam, Maulana Jafar Sadiq, Salwatullahi Alayhi. It is a very appropriate question to start with in order to understand two ceremonies conducted in our Jamaat Khana practices. One of these, Mehmani, is part of our daily practice, and the other, Awwal Sufro, is done on special occasions, such as festival days when we receive Talika Mubarak and in our various majalis. Mehmani is a Persian word that means hospitality to guests. In all traditions, but particularly in the Islamic way of life, guests are offered the very best of one's possessions. In our tariqah practices, Mehmani means an offering of food to Maulana Hazir Imam, usually a portion taken out of our home cooking before we partake of any of it. It is then brought to Jamaat Khana daily and remains on the parts until the second dua is recited. Subsequently, the Mehmani is auctioned as Nandi, because it would be impractical for Jamaats across the world to physically send the food to Imam-e-Zaman every day. What underlies this practice? Mehmani is a daily expression of the pure love and devotion that members of the Jamaat have for the Imam of the time. It signifies that no murid feels comfortable to eat his or her meal without apportioning a part of it first to Mawla. Love for the Imam is thus expressed in a daily practice and is a reminder of the close and permanent spiritual bond we have with Imam Zaman. When the Mehman is converted into Nandi, it also fulfills some very important social needs in the Jamaat. Many elderly members living on their own, working women, students and others benefit greatly from this practice. Awwal Sufro, on the other hand, is offered by one individual in the Jamaat who symbolically covers the expense of the entire Mehmani present in the Jamaat Khana on that particular special occasion. The benefit of such a gesture is shared with the Jamaat present and the Kul Ruhani, that is, all the members of the Jamaat who have passed into the spiritual world. Once again, this practice is based on pure love for and devotion to the Imam of the time. Love, devotion and friendship are the mainstay of the religion of Islam and our tariqah. In the Holy Quran, in Surah 3, Ayat 92, Allah says, "You shall not attain to righteousness until you spend in the way of Allah of what you love. And whatever you spend, verily Allah knows it." This teaching is also echoed in the Ginans. Pir Hasan Shah in the Ginan Dur Deshati Ayo Wanjaro says, "Offer that which is best in your homes and dedicate it to the name of your Lord." Devotion and love for the Imam is the first pillar of Shia Islam known as Walayat. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said in a hadith, "Love for Ali burns sins like fire burns wood." The importance of love and devotion for the Imam of the time from the direct descendants of Hazrat Maulana Ali salawatullahi alayhi underpins all our rites and ceremonies. Fidai Khurasani, a great Ismaili Dai and poet of Iran, says in a poem which is in the book The Shimmering Light, "If you have Mawla's love in your heart, you are rich. Otherwise, be sure that you are less than a beggar. Except for Ali's friendship, nothing is profitable to you. Except for Ali's love, you are neither alive nor dead." Hayyu Zinda. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Spiritual power of the greater love. The title of the final write-up of the Jamati Satada, Spiritual Power of the Greater Love, encapsulates the purpose and goal of all the rites and ceremonies we have reflected on during this week. Maulana Sultan Muhammad Shah Salawatullahi Alayhi uses these words in that comprehensive chapter 8 of his memoirs, reprinted as Islam, the Religion of My Ancestors, which is essential reading for all Ismailis. As we have heard day by day, every utterance and every rite in the Jamaat Khana is related to the light of Allah, which is ever living and ever present in his Mazhar, the Imam of the time. To love this light or nur is the highest teaching of our tariqah because it is the key to the spiritual power of the greater love. Two ayats of the Holy Quran are extremely significant in this context. In Surah 3, Ayat 31, Allah commands the Holy Prophet to say, "O Muhammad," to humankind, "if you love Allah, follow me. Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. Allah is forgiving, merciful." This ayat leaves no doubt about the concept of wasila, which we have also discussed this week. In order to love Allah, mu'mins or believers have to obey or follow the commands of the Holy Prophet. It is only when this condition is fulfilled that Allah will love the believers and forgive them and purify them so that they can return to their origin. In another chapter in Surah 42, Ayat 23, which qualifies the ayat we have just read, Allah once again commands, "Say, O Muhammad, to humankind, I ask no recompense from you except love for my relatives." In other words, after the Holy Prophet, believers have to accord the same love, respect, and reverence to the Ahlul Bayt or Panchtan Pak and their descendants, the Imams. In this context, it becomes easy for us to understand and internalize this Farman Mubarak of Maulana Sultan Muhammad Shah Salawatullahi Alayhi, made at Dar Islam on 3rd February 1937. For your religious progress, I tell you one thing which includes everything. The most important thing is that you keep a strong and solid faith in the successor of Muhammad and Ali. You will have no fear in this world if you love the descendants of Muhammad and Ali. This one hint includes all the beauties of prayers and religion. A study of the Holy Quran can help us to understand this farman. We have already heard in the earlier write-ups that the Prophet or his successor, the Imam, is the Khalifa of Allah. He is Yadullah, the hand of God on earth, through whom Bayya is given to Allah. It is through them that Allah is prostrated to and obeyed. Love for Allah is channeled through the Prophet and Imam. These are only some of the examples from the teachings of the Quran. Additionally, in Surah 32, Ayat 24, Allah says, "And we made from among them Imams to guide people by our command." Thus, divine guidance reaches humankind through prophets and imams. In Surah 4, Ayat 64, Allah says that when people wrong themselves, if they had come to the Prophet and asked for Allah's forgiveness, and the Prophet too had asked forgiveness for them, then surely they would have found Allah most forgiving. In Surah 9, Ayat 103, Allah commands the Prophet to take sadaqah from the believers in order to purify them and instructs him to pray for them because there is peace for the believers in the Prophet's prayers. All these examples convey the utmost significance of the status of the wasila, that is, the Prophet and the Imam of the time. Thus, love for Imam Zaman is the means to the spiritual power of the greater love. This is best explained by our peers in the Ginans in the example of the moth, which is so intoxicated with the love of light that it throws itself on the light, merges with it, and becomes light. The goal of all our practices is to become one with the light of Allah through His Mazhar, the Imam of the time. Alhamdulillah, Hayyu Zinda, Ya Ali Madad.